Amen. Father, we just thank you for the worship that we've experienced, the scriptures that we've heard being read. And I pray, Lord, that it's softened our hearts, that it's touched us and encouraged us in our walk with you. Truly, you have given a gift to mankind, your son, a little baby who grew up to be a man, to give his life on the cross of Calvary so that we could have salvation. Lord, we thank you for that gift you gave us that day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a few minutes, we're going to have our candlelight service part where we're actually going to light candles. But before we do that, I want to take a few moments and just share from God's Word. And to set the stage in a sense, the Scriptures are full of miracles, aren't they? You know, you read in the Old Testament, New Testament, everywhere, there's miracles happening everywhere. But the greatest miracle of all, I believe, is God sending His Son as a little baby. Now, there's a lot of things that had to happen for that to happen, things that are beyond our understanding. But the reality of it is that here's Jesus comes as a little baby. He's all God, yet he's all human at the same time. Now, go figure that out. I've been in the Lord for some 30-plus years, and I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. Yet we saw the humanity of Jesus as you read the Scriptures. You see that he would get tired. You could see that he could weep. He had joy. So he had all the emotions of a person, and they were real. And then there's other times where he would heal the sick miraculously. And obviously, dying on the cross, no one else could do that. You know, as God, he gave himself as the Lamb of God on the cross for our salvation. And then came back from the dead to prove that what he did really was real. Only God could do that. And it all began some 2,000 years ago in a place called Bethlehem, where a little baby was born. Now, in the midst of that event, in the midst of the Christmas story, there are three dreams that happen among the participants of the Christmas story. And I want to take a few minutes and look at these three dreams, and especially how it applies to us today. Because though those dreams happened 2,000 plus years ago, I believe that God is still giving us dreams today. And so we'll talk about that in a few moments. But just to read a scripture in Matthew 1, verse 20. Says this, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her, Mary, a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So we're reading the account of Joseph, of what happened. But we need to rewind the tape a little bit, because we know that here an angel shows up to Mary and says, you're going to be with child, and it's going to be of the Holy Spirit. And so you can imagine the day or evening or whenever it was that she came and began to tell Joseph this story. And it all began with, hey, an angel from God visited me, and now I'm pregnant. Okay, now, if I was Joe, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Come on, and he had those doubts. We know that because he was going to divorce her, because when you were betrothed back in Bible times, that literally was like being married. So literally, he'd have to give her a certificate of divorce. And yet, in his mercy and grace, in a sense, in a personal way, he was going to do it privately. It wasn't like he was going to make this a big public spectacle and kind of call her out on it. But it was beyond his understanding. He just couldn't believe that it was true, yet he was still going to quietly put her away, so to speak. And what does God do? God shows up in the form of an angel and in a dream and says, look it, what Mary has told you is really true. She is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And so what does he do? If we go on and read, we see that they do marry and life carries on. But here's the thing. Joseph had to have that dream of assurance to be able to carry on in his walk. See, you and I need to have assurance at times to be able to walk in what God's called us to. Because in the natural, it doesn't make sense, or it's difficult, or it's confusing us, or it's impossible. All of those different things could be. And yet God wants to bring assurance to your heart today. Not only of your salvation, of eternity, all of those things, but of circumstances right now that you're dealing with. So I ask you this at this moment. Have you taken your circumstances, what's going on in your life, to Jesus? And said, Lord, I've got a problem. You see, we see Joseph pondering this, you know, making that decision. Am I going to do this? Am I not going to do this? How am I going to do this? And the Lord shows up in the midst of that. Are we pondering things enough today? You know, we live in that microwave generation. It's like, come on, come on, let's get moving. Make a decision. Let's move on. But here's the thing. We need to take time to wait on God so that he can reveal to us what's best. Because sometimes you and I go in wrong directions, thinking it's the right direction when God knows the best direction. And we really need to take time to have that assurance from him. Amen? So that's the first dream that we see in the Christmas story. The next dream is found in Matthew 2, verse 12. And it says this, "Then being divinely warned in a dream that they, the wise men, should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Well, the background of this story is that the wise men came to see Jesus, to worship him, and they didn't know where he was. So they went to the king of the land in Jerusalem, figuring the king should know where this new king of the Jews would be, and it was King Herod. So they went to King Herod and said, "Hey, where is the one born king of the Jews?" And if we read the scriptures, we'll see that Herod wasn't sure. He asked all the scribes and the wise people of Jerusalem, and they said, "Well, he's going to be found in Bethlehem." And so Herod says, "Go check it out. Go find Jesus. And when you found him, come and tell me that I can go and worship him as well." Now, Herod was a wicked, wicked king. So you can imagine that when someone comes from a foreign land telling him that there's another king, he's going to have a problem with that, isn't he? And we know if we read the Christmas story, continue to read it, we see that Herod becomes very angry and actually kills every child 2 years old and under in the Bethlehem area. So we know that he was a wicked person. So here the wise men are warned by God in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to go a different way. And so not only do we have God wanting to give assurance to us, he wants to give warnings to us. You know, we don't know what's around the corner in our lives. You know, we can't see things in the realm of the Spirit and know things, but God can reveal them to us. And are we willing to be open to allow the presence and the Spirit of God to reveal warning signs to us? And then the next step is, are we willing to obey? How many people have seen a warning sign and went, yeah, that's for somebody else? How many people have done that? I have, probably today at some point, probably. You know, and the point is that not only do we hear or need to hear these warning signs, but to obey them as well. And in the case here, they were saved from maybe being killed, possibly. The wise men, Herod, might have destroyed them as well. But God saved them. And God is still in the business of warning us to protect us from harm still today. Amen? All right, the third and the final dream is found in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. "Now when they had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt." Okay, so picture this scene, right? You're sleeping, okay? And your husband comes, taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, I just had a dream. We're moving." And you're like, "Okay, well, you know, next week, next year, no, tonight." How many of you would say, "Yeah, okay"? I'm not sure I would. I'm not sure I'd sign up for that. But here's Joseph being warned by the Lord and connected enough to God to know that this was of the Lord and to make that decision and literally flee for their lives, not knowing that Herod was coming. In other words, in the natural, they're having a peaceful night. Everything's going fine. Yet Herod is sending his soldiers at that very moment. What about you and I? What about the guidance that you and I need to stay out of harm's way? And that's what this was a dream of guidance, right? To direct Joseph out of harm's way. How much more do you and I need God to speak to us, to show us where danger is, and to keep us out of harm's way, to guide us in life? How important is it for you and I to take our needs and our desires and our plans and to take it to God first? Say, "Lord, what do I do?" Because he still wants to reveal himself today to you. And you might say, "Well, hold it. The wise men, they were special people. Joseph, he was special. All those people, they're part of the Christmas story. Well, of course, God's going to help them." Well, let me take you to my final scripture for tonight. And it's found in Acts chapter 2. And Peter is speaking. And you know who he's speaking to? He's speaking to the church. The church is actually brand new. Just happened. Literally, it was birthed. The church that we are a part of has just been birthed. And he's speaking to the new believers. You know who else he's speaking to? you and I as well. And look at what he says to them 2,000 years ago, and it still applies to us. Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 17. And it says this, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." You see, God is still in the dream business. You know, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he revealed dreams and visions and guided people back in the past, he is still wanting to bring assurance. He still wants to warn us. He still wants to guide us still today. So I ask you this question. Are you willing to let him do that in your life? Maybe you've never thought about it before. Maybe you've accepted Jesus already and you have that assurance and you know that heaven is there for you when you leave this life. But I want you to know that God is more than just an eternal assurance, that he wants to speak to you and minister to you and direct you and guide you in this life, because he has wonderful plans for each and every one of us. Amen? God is a good God. And are we willing to open up our hearts to let him be a part of our everyday walk? Because that's what he wants to do. And it all began in a manger in Bethlehem. And then it went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. The story went to the cross. See, Jesus was born to die, to live again, so that you and I can live forever. Wow. Just take a moment and just bow your heads. Those here and those that are watching us online. And I want to ask you this question. Do you have eternal assurance? Do you know what will happen to you when this life ends for you? See, for each and every one of us, however young or old we are, this life eventually will end. And the Bible makes it very clear that we can have assurance of our salvation, that we can be assured that there's life after this. And it's simply done by this one thing, by asking Jesus into your heart. It's not about joining a church. It's not about just saying a bunch of words. It's more than that. It's about your heart and God's Spirit and just asking him to come into your heart. If there be anyone here right now or those watching that you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, Christmas Eve is no better time. God sent his Son as a gift to mankind. And the Bible says that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that today? Now, you may not fully understand it. I'm not asking you to understand it. But do you believe it? Do you trust Jesus that he came for you? And if the answer is yes to that, then take a moment right now. I'd like to ask those here to help me with this. And I'm sure many of you have already accepted Jesus. But if you're here in this place and you haven't, then we're going to say a prayer. And if you mean it with your heart, that means that you're accepting Jesus into your heart. But for those of us that are believers, let's just say this out loud. Just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my heart. I'm not perfect, but the Bible says you are. And you took my place of punishment on the cross. You lived to die for me. I accept you into my life. And I ask right now that you would begin to guide me and direct me through the rest of my life until I see you face to face in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You prayed that prayer with your heart and just said, I need you. The Bible promises he's come into your heart right now. Amen? So, Father, I thank you for every person that made that decision for you for the first time. And maybe there were some individuals that recommitted their lives. Maybe they kind of slid away and were doing their own thing and have turned back to you. And, Lord, I thank you that you receive us back with open arms. I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.